WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The full House is expected to take up the debt deal designed to avert a government default. Republican Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz has asked how he'll vote.
I'm not close to a yes vote. I didn't even vote for the Limit Safe Grow bill, so probably not.
The House expected to take up that vote tomorrow. More from CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The debt deal has been maligned by progressives on the left and conservatives on the right, but Biden Budget Director Shalanda Young calls it a reasonable agreement.
This is what happens in divided government. They get to have an opinion, and we get to have an opinion.
Young says Mr. Biden and his aides are reaching out to skeptical Democrats to teach them about the proposal.
What you don't do is call and tell them what to do. You educate.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis hits the presidential campaign trail with a first stop in Clive, Iowa, pitching himself as a strong Republican challenger to former President Trump.
American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we must choose a new direction for our country. We must choose a path that will lead to a revival of American greatness.
DeSantis will also stop in New Hampshire and South Carolina this week. People may still be trapped underneath the wreckage of a partially collapsed apartment building in Davenport, Iowa, according to the mayor and police chief. CBS's Adriana Diaz is at the scene.
Officials say they believe the two people who may still be in the building are unlikely to have survived. We spoke with Brandon Colvin Jr., whose father is missing.
Where was your dad's apartment?
It was at the top, right where it all fell down.
The family of an 11-year-old Mississippi boy who called police to help his family and then was shot by a responding officer is now suing the city of Indianola for $5 million. According to family attorney Carlos Moore, Darian Murray called police regarding a domestic dispute on May 20th.
A brave and courageous young man tried to come to the rescue of his mother. Little did he know that just a few moments later, he'll be fighting for his life.
A wildfire on Canada's Atlantic coast has damaged some 200 houses and other structures. It's prompted the evacuation of thousands of people and prompted air quality alerts along the U.S. East Coast. Halifax Deputy Fire Chief David Meldrum.
This fire has not been contained. This fire is not under control. Today it did not spread appreciably, and that is thanks to weather, the work of the firefighters on the ground.
Elizabeth Holmes enters a Texas prison to begin an 11-year sentence for a notorious blood testing hoax. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon premium blades can help you see better and drive safer. And our professional parts people will install them for you for free. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know you can get someone to shop for you? Stitch Fix really gets me and what I need. Even better, they save me a trip to the mall. It's easy. I share my style, size, and budget, and they do the shopping for me. Stitch Fix sends me things that fit and make me feel like a more stylish version of myself. I keep what works and send back the rest. No subscription required, no commitment, just my style. Stitch Fix. Get started today at stitchfix.com/radio.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 55. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 90. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Lows around 63. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Upper 80s Thursday and Friday with storms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Gotta tell you, I've really enjoyed listening to Republicans lose their minds over the debt ceiling. It's been one of those, we're saddling our children with debt. Aside from them really not knowing what it is they're talking about, other than the scare tactic that they throw out, I do find it interesting that they're the ones who are so concerned about the debt that they want the children to start paying it off early, which is why on Friday you had the governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, who signed a bill into law that's going to make it's going to make child labor great again. We're going to make exploitation great again. Get those kids on the kill floor. Little hands can get into places and clean stuff. Yeah. And look, double win. They can start paying that debt off a little bit sooner. But here to share some thoughts on the big debt deal. Find out who won, who lost. Well, other than we, the people, I've asked our good friend Bill Shear to come talk with us. Bill is the politics editor over at the Washington Monthly. Bill, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be with you.
So let's start with the winners, the losers. Who won in this?
I think Biden's a big winner. I think Kevin McCarthy's a big winner. To be honest with you, I think Biden needed a win, needed to show that he can make Washington work. Needed to show he's delivering on his promise to bring bipartisanship back. This is not the first time he did infrastructure. He did the semiconductor bill. He did Ukraine aid. Did postal service reform. There's lots of bipartisan wins that he's done, and here's one more rabbit he's pulled out of the hat. And look, Kevin McCarthy, people thought that he was going to be under the thumb of the true nut jobs in the Freedom Caucus, the Matt Gaetzes and the Lauren Boeberts. They had this motion to vacate provision in the deal that he got the gavel. One person could call a vote and force him out of the speaker's chair. And Kevin McCarthy has basically done a deal that they don't like, and they do not seem to have the, if not the power to stop, the willingness to use that power to stop him. So they become marginalized in this process. And the worst fears I think we all have, which is a bunch of nihilists are going to blow up the global economy.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I said the winners in this, the big winner is the Republican Party. What they won here is the normalization of using this as a tool to extract whatever things that they want. This isn't. They've normalized this as part of the budget process, and I don't think it should be. I don't think this is one of those tools that we should be normalizing, saying, "Hey, give us what we want, or we're gonna destroy our economy, and not just here but globally." I just think that that's the loss for all of us.
Let me say two things about that. One is the debt limit is stupid.
Yeah,
and we should get rid of it. And I think Democrats made a mistake in not doing that 2 years ago. You can't change policy through budget reconciliation. That's the procedure that's used to circumvent the filibuster.
Right.
You can change budgetary provisions. So you could raise the debt limit to a bazillion gajillion dollars, and then it would never be a thing ever again. I think they should have done that. Having said that, I don't agree that we have normalized hostage taking through this particular process. Because what McCarthy did was different than what Ted Cruz did in 2013, when he said, I'm not going to raise the debt ceiling unless you defund Obamacare. Or you go back to Newt Gingrich in 1995, when they said, we're going to pass a budget in the House and the Senate. It's going to cut Medicare. It's going to cut Medicaid. It's going to cut environmental protection. It's going to cut education. And you sign this, Bill Clinton, or forget the debt limit increase. A very specific ransom, or the economy gets it. And what McCarthy did was not as severe as that. What McCarthy said was, look, I want spending cuts. I don't know by how much. I'm not going to put a number out there, but we got to do something. And he was constrained from doing something as extreme as what the Freedom Caucus would have liked. You know, they want a 10-year balanced budget plan,
right,
which, you know, sounds reasonable, but in reality would have been very draconian.
No.
McCarthy never proposed it. Supposedly that was a deal he promised to get the gavel, and he never followed through, never floated it, was not part of the Limit Save Grow Act that passed the House, never was a non-negotiable demand put in front of Bill Clinton, in front of Joe Biden. McCarthy, one of the reasons why it was hard for Biden to just cut off negotiation was McCarthy had a veneer of reasonability. I just want to negotiate. I just want to talk. Even when they passed their bill, he never said it's this bill or nothing.
Right.
There never was that gun to the head move that Ted Cruz and Newt Gingrich tried in the past. So, you know, is it great that a debt limit's still a thing that can be used in negotiations? No, again, I'd rather it not be there. But I think McCarthy is operating in a more reasonable parameter, set of parameters, than what we had in the past, because when Gingrich tried it and Cruz tried it, it backfired on them because they looked like obnoxious hostage takers.
Now, what is in this? I mean, the one thing that I've seen that's going to take this past the election in 2024, so that's we won't have to deal with this until after, you know, whatever happens then. There are some cuts in place. What do we know so far? And I guess the other question is, what are the chances that this doesn't pass?
I think it's going to pass. I'm not concerned about it not passing. I mean, even the Republican opponents of it admit that it's going to pass. They just want to try to get as big a number as they can to make McCarthy look bad, but I'm not even clear they're even going to get that much. Yeah, but this is basically freezing spending at like fiscal year 2022 levels, and then limiting the growth to 1%, which is less than inflation, at least for the next 2 years. I think the cap is a little less firm after that. There's some provision in there, and forgive me for being fuzzy about it because I'm trying to get my arms around it myself, that's supposed to be kind of like a backstop if they don't pass appropriations bills, and like a 1% limited growth kicks in automatically. But I think there might be some loopholes in that. I've seen different things argued about it. But in the short run, in the 2 year period, you're talking about keeping spending levels below rate of inflation, so an effective cut, which what McCarthy is selling to his people. And it might make Democrats feel that this is not right, that we shouldn't have accepted this under under threat of debt default, Biden should have gone 14th Amendment or minted a platinum coin or what have you to avoid that. But keep in mind, this is a different economic moment we're in compared to, say, 2011, when there was the Obama-Boehner debt limit deal. At that 2011, we were still coming out of the Great Recession. Unemployment was still very high at 9%. Obama was worried about undercutting demand. He wanted to stimulate demand. You want to stimulate the economy when it's kind of when it's weak, and create more jobs. And so there was a fear that those spending cuts in 2011 were going to undercut that. Right now, we have record low unemployment.
Right.
We already have the Fed raising rates to try to limit demand. And so to have a little bit of a spending cut, I mean, I'm not saying I love every aspect of it. You don't want to be, you know, hurting the poor necessarily. I'm not saying it's perfect, but in the aggregate, in the macroeconomic picture, what's the one weak spot of Biden's economy is inflation. It's easing, but it's still higher than it was when he came in. And you know, Biden's job numbers in the economy, they're bad. They're worse than his overall job approval. What's going to fix that? Getting inflation down. If this makes the inflation a little bit better, so long as you don't tip into recession, you wouldn't want those cuts to be so deep you tip into recession, but I think they might have found the sweet spot here where it's a mild cut. The Fed can do its thing. I mean, they're trying to, you know, ease their rate increases. They're trying to find the sweet spot too. If they can do that soft landing where, you know, GDP is still growing and unemployment's still low and inflation is down, then Biden's golden in 2024.
Right.
And if Democrats have a good 2024, you can revisit all these budget caps in 2025.
No, that's an excellent point. You know, when I woke up and I read about the deal and I'm like, I'm hearing everyone chirping from both sides. My first thought was, well, it must not be bad. If everyone's unhappy, it must be fairly reasonable. Because, you know, if someone's happy and someone's really unhappy, then you've got imbalance. If everybody's unhappy, then maybe it's not horrible.
Well, look, Republicans, they control the House. It's a narrow majority, but they control the House. Yeah, I saw one analysis in the American Prospect, which is a progressive publication, saying, you know, people should not be doing the glass half full thing that I'm doing right now, because sure, it could have been worse, but we should be doing all these other things that would be so much better. And generally speaking, yeah, I agree, but let's face reality. Republicans control the House. If you keep the lights on right now, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Considering the way things have gone. And look, people thought that Biden would not be able to keep the lights on with the Yahoos and the Republican Party, that we were destined to have some giant economic blow up, that Republicans would try to place the blame at Biden's feet. And if we can not have a global economic meltdown, and Biden can say, look, you know, we did the American Rescue Plan in 2021. We avoided the worst economic cratering because of the pandemic. We kept the economy going. Yeah, there was some inflation early on, but we took care of that in the subsequent years. Republicans and Democrats, they're finding a way to make government work and not have everything fall apart. I did what I promised I was going to do in 2020.
Yeah.
That's as good a re-election message as he's going to get, in my opinion.
No, you're right. But it's so I guess I got to ask you, because this kind of was, you know, it was kind of anticlimactic. It was being built up as this. And look, I did it too, because I thought the crazies in the Republican Party had a little bit more sway with McCarthy. Because and we'll still find out where this goes. But, you know, I was, you know, looking at it going, I think these people really do want to shoot the hostage. It was a little anticlimactic. So, you know, how much of what was being built up was maybe, you know, media hype, horse race thinking, and how much of it was actually potentially real?
Like, I'm forgive me for being a little braggy here, Rick, but I wrote a piece in February for the Washington Monthly saying McCarthy wants a deal. McCarthy doesn't want to blow up the economy. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in the rhetoric that he's giving. He was talking about trying to do a deal ahead of the deadline. And I was saying, I think you should take this guy at his word.
No, I don't disagree with you on that. I don't think McCarthy wanted to blow up the economy or do the horrible thing. I just gave a little bit more credit to the Scott Perrys of the world and the Gateses and the Greens and the Boberts and the rest of them, the Gohmerts and them. I gave them too much credit, I think.
Well, I think number one, McCarthy recognized that we talk about the debt limit as being this great leverage. It's not great leverage. It's a hand grenade.
Yeah.
It's a hand grenade that you don't want to blow up in your hands. If you can put it in the other guy's hands, then fine. But you don't want it in your hands. You don't want people to think that you are trying to pull the pin. And so McCarthy recognized that from the outset and was trying to keep the temperature low all the way through. And when he was saying these things in February, when he was not talking about 10-year balanced budget in February, that in, I mean, look, when I, you asked me in November or December what the Scott Perrys and the Matt Gaetzes were going to do, I'd be like, gee, I don't know, guy. I'm as terrified as you are. These guys seem Looney Tunes. I think they want to shoot the hostage. I think they would enjoy blowing up the economy. And if they can oust the speaker with 5 votes, because Democrats would join them, and that speaker is too spineless to stand up to them, yeah, I'm worried what would happen. You asked me in December, I would have said that. But in February, when McCarthy was saying these more conciliatory things and not pushing 10-year balanced budget, and I did not hear a peep out of the Freedom Caucus at that point. That's when I said to myself, these Freedom Caucus guys, they're chumps. They're bluffers. They're grandstanders. They like to talk a lot of trash, like to make a lot of noise, but they don't have the moxie. They don't have the spine to actually force that speaker vote, to force it to fall and own it. They want to whine and cry and stamp their feet. They don't want to own it themselves. And I think McCarthy recognized that. And basically, he gave them the shoulder the whole time. I mean, even when he gave them some concessions to get the Limit, Save, Grow Act passed last month to get the negotiations going. Literally, as that bill was being passed, McCarthy said, look, I know this is not the final offer. I know that we don't all agree on the particulars here. He basically said to Joe Biden, this is not something that has a hard 218. I mean, if everyone really agreed on that in their own Congress, he could go to Biden and say, look, this is the bill. This is the only thing that can get my caucus together tonight. If I back away from this, then I can't promise I'm getting anything passed. McCarthy gave up that tactic from the get-go. He said, this is just the thing. This is just to get you in the room. But now let's have a real negotiation with all the latitude in the world, because no one has really tied my hands here about what I can actually agree to you on.
No, good call. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens in McCarthy down the road, but I think your assessment of the children not having the moxie to really, you know, touch the button or shoot the hostages, a lot of us thought that they were going to do. Good for the country, I got to be honest. I'm glad that I was wrong, but we'll see where it takes us. But Bill, as always, great stuff. I hope folks will check your stuff out there at the Washington Monthly. We'll get links out on how people can take a look at that. But Bill Scheer, thanks so much for the time.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. What do you think? Do you think they wanted to? Do you think that this was, you know, a smart McCarthy who just played both sides against the middle? And interested to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said, on Friday, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed the Let's Make Child Labor Great Again bill. Oh, she called them common sense labor provisions that allow young adults to develop their skills in the workforce. And this is, look, I'm not against kids working. I'm not. But when you see stories like this one from the Department of Labor that points out that, one of the chains of Sonics in Nevada, they have six of the Sonic locations that they illegally allowed 14-year-olds to operate fryers and all the stuff that are dangerous in a fast food restaurant. They're not supposed to. The law says workers have to be over 16 or over, can't be under. And when you find out that, you've got this chain that's got 170 violations of child labor law, and you've got, folks in Iowa going, well, just advancing their career options, let those 14-year-olds on the kill floor to clean up the blades and clean up the mess. Yeah, let them get in there. It's good for their spirit, good for their career. I got a problem with that. Look, I want kids. My kid, he's a lifeguard. He works. He does his thing. My oldest daughter, she worked, but under supervision and not in dangerous conditions. You want to teach work ethic. You want kids to understand the value of a dollar and what it takes to earn it. Most certainly, as parents, we want that stuff. But we don't want them to be put in situations of peril. And now, look, here's what I do understand. And I've got a bunch of my friends going, well, you're wrong, Rick. We should let parents decide. No, I'm not in love with this let parents decide argument. Because when you get further down the economic ladder, parents get a lot more desperate and are willing to, and out of necessity sometimes, put kids in peril. Just so that they can survive. And I think that is not something we should be allowing. Because look, and I said this from the start, when Iowa was moving on this child labor bill, these are not going to be my kids. These are not going to be, middle class America. That's not who this is. These are going to be immigrant kids. These are going to be poor working class kids. These are going to be the desperate of our society who are going to be the ones getting screwed into this. So for me, I think we need to have sane, rational protections in place. And I think these Republicans right now across this country and state houses across the country are going too far. But again, remember, they're the ones telling us we're going to protect the children. They're grooming the children to be accepting of others. But we want to exploit them to work. Yeah, you figure it out because I'm struggling with it. I want to quick get to an email from Barbara. She said, Rick, do you support Chick-fil-A? No, I don't. The reason I brought it up, Barbara, simple. I find it interesting that the chicken sandwich of the radical right is now being attacked because they're not anti-gay enough. I have never gone to Chick-fil-A. I will probably never will. It's not something that I have done. Simply because of their stance and their position and treatment of people. There are other options. As a consumer, I have the ability to do that. What I don't do is I don't go to Chick-fil-A and harass the workers and the customers there. I don't agree with the goals of the franchise, although I do agree with them being off on Sundays. I live your values. I'm in favor of that. But you don't see me in there harassing and intimidating their customers and their workers like you do on the right. I just don't.
If you've been listening, you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 55. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 90. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Lows around 63. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Upper 80s Thursday and Friday with storms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Planet warming gas a year, equivalent to the annual pollution of 10 coal plants. As the Natural Resources Defense Council puts it, we won't build the clean energy economy of the future by doubling down on the dirty fuels of the past. This is Jim Hightower saying, For information and action on this raw deal, connect with Appalachian Mountain Advocates, appvoices.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this was something that grabbed my attention earlier today. Remember Tara Reid? She's the one who accused then-Senator Joe Biden of a sexual assault. And look, you know, I listened to the whole thing. I had people, you know, explain to me, you know, why she was part of the Me Too and she should be believed. And I got to be honest, I didn't buy the story. Didn't buy it. It didn't add up the way that it was explained. Well, interestingly enough, she has... I guess she's moved to Russia. Maybe she's hooking up with this Maria Butina. Remember her? She had the gun group from Russia that was funneling a bunch of NRA money around. There was a lot of coziness going on there. Well, evidently the both of them are back in Russia. Kind of makes you think a little bit. Kind of makes you wonder. I know it's all a hoax. It's all a hoax. The Russian thing. The Russians are as pure as driven snow. Yeah. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on maybe this and the rest of the big news of the day. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst Bob Ney to share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you, Rick.
So, what do you think of this? This Tara Reid off? I guess moving to Mexico. To Russia. Does this kind of throw any signals for you?
Well, a couple of things I thought. You know, she made the allegations about 3 years ago, I believe it was, and back in 1993 she was assaulted, and there was nobody that she had. I mean, and you know, anything can happen, and I know we all have a system and it looks at things, but on her case, there was nothing where she had went to somebody. I mean, in cases like that, they may wait, but they usually tell somebody. You know, there's a whole, because it's so traumatic for them, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what I thought was interesting is that in December, the Russian diplomats tried to bring her for a meeting on weapons diversion. Now, why... What does she have as an expertise on weapons diversion? She has no expertise on that topic. Now, she didn't speak at the UN meeting. They tried this at the UN, the Russians. But she did interview Russia's deputy permanent representative of the United Nations as a, quote, journalist she was on her own YouTube channel. Okay, you know how that runs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out. There's been this back and forth where, you know, she tried to go to the UN for weapons diversion, and of course she wanted to be at the UN saying, I was attacked by, you know, Joe Biden. And then finally she goes to Russia. So I think this has been in the works for a while. Obviously, because of the Ukraine situation, they want her over there for propaganda purposes, no question about
so
it.
So you think that's they're going to march?
They tried to get her to the UN in December. That didn't work, so they, you know, have granted her the ability to go over there. Of course, her living will be paid for, and, you know, things like that.
Look, everyone needs food and rent money. I'm guessing that's that's part of this.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it in Russia or Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, how much are you willing to allow yourself to be used, and are you really? I gotta tell you, even if I agreed with Putin, I'm not trusting that guy to. No, that ain't happening.
Well, right. Also, the other thing too, and this is so weird. You know, she was fearing for her life. No,
where?
If you've made this accusation, it's highly unlikely that the president of the United States would sic his assassins on you. Okay. So I don't know why she would be fearing. Nobody paid attention to her anyway.
Yeah, no, I forgot her name until I saw this story.
Right, right, exactly.
You know,
In fact, I thought it was Tara Reid, the actress, at first.
Yeah, no, I remember, you know, her. I watched an interview with her as she was explaining what had happened. And, you know, it just didn't sound plausible.
Mm-hmm.
it's one of those things where you go, you know, look, I believe women when they say they've been assaulted. And but, you know, when you start saying that, you know, it was in a public hallway and it just didn't sound like there was, it didn't sound plausible. You know, look, if you say, right. Hey, push me into a broom closet. Okay. I told somebody, like you said at the time, a friend, a relative, someone who would be willing to come forward. But there was none of that.
Right. Now, remember, too, and this got so little attention, but this is why I doubt her. Again, I'm always cautious. Even Santos has his day in court, right? I'm cautious about that kind of thing. But there's also plausible deniability on certain things. And here's something that you don't see in media, and I don't know why you don't, but there is a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Harriet Rye, but she is a 79-year-old author and a psychologist, right? And Rye and her husband knew Reed, and they knew her as Tara McCabe. She had rented yacht on their place on their California property, and she took care of their horses and things, etc. Now this was in 2017, wasn't that long ago? All right, and then she asked for financial help, and on and on and on. Money was problematic for her, you know. And here's the other thing: she had spoken so highly of Biden to them. All right? So there is a background on her, but it's all positive.
Yeah.
And then she moved on. She burnt this couple, is what she did. And, you know, she moved on. So if you look at this and you look at some of her history and her other names, Tara McCabe, she also, by the way, went by Alexandra McCabe. And she also integrated herself with other people, took advantage of them, extracted money from them, skipped rent payments, and walked out on other bills. She's been doing this. Now, again, you're not going to see what I just said in many articles, but it's a fact. Everything I just said is factual.
Yeah, no, I just looked it up, and you're right. In fact, you know, the one thing, you know, the woman said that she was deceitful and manipulative and a user.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And she did it with multiple people, different names, etc. But the point is, too, she never, at any point in time with those people, it never came to light where she said, oh, by the way, I was assaulted by Senator Biden, who's now the president. You know,
right, no, and look, you know, for me, the other part of this is the right never really embraced her.
No.
I mean, there was some, you know, spatterings here or there. But, you know, if she didn't have all of this in the past, man, she would be the poster child, the attack dog in all of the right-wing media.
Right.
And
well,
they
even
really
the right
haven't
were-
touched her.
Even the right knew there was some change short of a quarter, okay? Even the right knew that.
And that's
a broken clock works, what do they say? Well, yeah, twice a day. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's one of those things where, you know, if they're willing to pass on it, it's got to be bad. So I am not surprising. I want to get all your right. thoughts on this because this Vivek Ramaswamy guy running for president has some aides who evidently were paid by the LIV Golf Tournament folks, the Saudis. It seems interesting to me that these folks have come forth, you know, now saying, hey, we've got to register as foreign agents because, hey, we took the Saudi money, because it's being reported that potentially some subpoena action coming down from Jack Smith to the Trump Organization for, you know, information on this LIV Golf and the Saudi real estate deals that are going on. Seems like interesting timing to me. Or is it just me putting things together that maybe aren't linked?
No, I think it is interesting timing. He fired the consultants who worked simultaneously for LIV Golf. And, you know, he fired one of the firm's consultants that were on his presidential campaign, and that was after it was revealed the firm had also at the same time been doing public relations for a majority Saudi-backed entity, you know, as they said in the news clips. And it was Gitcho Goodwin. The firm was led by a longtime operative, I guess, Gail Gitcho. I've never heard of Gail Gitcho. And Henry Goodwin, and they were registered, by the way, retroactively, May 25th, as foreign agents, retroactively. So, you know, they're not going to get charged, but obviously they didn't do things, you know, the right way. and then he hired them, and he is now, you know, fired them. So I don't think he hired them knowing, you know, they were doing certain, you know, certain things. But look, the Saudis have 100 ways to, you know, spread their influence and wealth.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They're everywhere, and the Saudis have obviously hired this firm that kind of serves as the front, you know, front people for it.
No, what's amazing to me, Bob, and look, you spent years in Washington, so I
and
mean,
I worked
this...
in Saudi Arabia.
What's that?
And I worked in Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, that's right. But you know, what I'm saying is you know, you worked in Washington. You know that the money flows in from all over the world, and we're one of the few mm-hmm. countries in the world that allows foreign governments to lobby our Congress and lobby our representatives. Mm-hmm. You know, so I look at the Saudi money that comes in, the Chinese money that comes in, even the Russian money that was, you know, so influential for years. And I go, you know, at some point, do we not have to look at this and figure out how to block this stuff from getting into our political system, or is it just too pervasive and impossible to do?
Well, you know, a point I will make, and I made this at the time, and the late Senator McCain, was furious with me. But in conversations I had with, you know, his staff, and when he had the campaign finance bill in my committee, McCain-Feingold, and I warned at that time, you know, you can go ahead and deal with soft money, you know. But at the time, I said, let's do full transparency. House Administration, Rick, also oversaw the Federal Elections Commission. So it would be easy to, at that time, to do full transparency, Federal Elections Commission, the FEC, money coming in, but also with any of these PACs or accounts or business accounts. And that's because all these things created, whether it's Soros or the Koch brothers or Karl Rove or whoever, a lot of these accounts are shadow money. You know, you don't know who, you know, who's doing what. And of course, they use the unions and the corporations saying, oh, that terrible union soft money or that corporation soft money, which we can debate. But the whole issue of dark money was left dark. And I think this all ought to be cleaned up so that, you know, if people are using this money and it somehow gets in the political system. Now, here's what the lobbyists will say, you know, this Gitchko Goodwin. And what they say is, well, sure, people like the Saudis seek out influential, you know, lobby types. Well, the point, I guess, is those influential lobby types are mingled in politics on Capitol Hill, and they're taking Saudi money, Russian money, Chinese money, you know, whatever money. And so they are connected. And there's a whole wink and nod there. And so I don't think these foreign countries ought to be able to hide behind lobbyists, quote, who are American, whose job is to influence the American political system.
Yeah, because I look at this LIV golf thing, and you know, from the beginning, my mind was, this just seems like a honeypot. I mean, just a huge amount of money for people to get their hands in. Yeah, they got the golf tournament going on, but it seemed like an interesting laundering vehicle to be able to get all these people. You know, Trump was involved in it. You know, I guess Kushner was involved in it. A lot of people have been involved in it. It just seemed
Ron
like a way
DeSantis.
To... Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like a way to pay a lot of people off.
DeSantis was involved. Look, LIV's connections to these candidates, it goes beyond Trump. And Ramaswamy, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Trump knows. Trump's organization knew. Ramaswamy, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's new in the system. He may not have known. But, you know, Trump knew. And then what they did is this LIV, this Gitchko Goodwin, here, let's just put this together for 1 second if I could. Gitchko Goodwin was contracted to work for LIV, all right? And that was through something called a 50-state LLC and a public affairs P2 group, two subsidies of a consulting conglomerate called a GP3 Partners, if I've confused you yet, which has Phil Cox, Republican. Cox was a top advisor to the Super PAC, supporting who? Ron DeSantis. I mean, I know that must sound confusing to your listeners, but just think about that. Four layers till it got to DeSantis.
No, I mean, that's the point. That's how you launder money, Bob.
It is. There's four layers of laundering. Literally. I just quoted four layers of laundering.
And along the way, there are a bunch of hands in that pot. So now you've got all of these people who are corrupted all along the way. And look, they're all now in on it. So you've corrupted the whole system. It's the same thing that, you know, going back to that Maria Butina. It's the same kind of thing that the Russians did with her and the NRA.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Or do you see it differently? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I'm the one back way back when who said in the House Administration Committee, and I had, you know, I had a couple people supporting me, Democrat and a Republican on the committee, but I said way, way back when, let's know every dime and every person. It's like pork. I'm okay with pork. Put our names on it.
Yeah.
You know, put our names on it. Attach little subtitles to the bills. But it's the same thing with this money, and I've said it years ago. It all ought to be shown. Those PACs, the PG-2, the PG-3 that was under the conglomerates, you know, all of that should have been immediately reported that it was LIV money,
yeah.
Saudi money. It wasn't.
How bad?
So I'm all for it.
Let me ask you this. How bad really is it?
Oh, I think it's pervasive. I look at certain things, and I see super PACs do certain things, and you wonder how they're being steered, who's really putting the money into it. I mean, people could, you know, for whatever influence, could put tons of money in there, and they can do it through a P2, a PG conglomerate, just like I mentioned, and we will never know. We won't know who they are, what they're doing, what they're behind. And here's my idea. If we want to have fair game about this, you know, put it all out in the open sunshine, and then, you know, people can make judgments. The press, of course, would go after it then. But what I just went through right now, how much has the media or anybody on Capitol Hill said, wow, I didn't know there was all this legal laundering money, you know, entities out there. I mean, it just gets dismissed. I think it's a big deal. I think it hurts our democracy. And Rick, it influences in ways you and I will never be able to find out if we had, you know, five investigators hired.
No. I mean, and that's the thing that gets me. I mean, you look at the money that's being thrown around, and you know, I remember years ago when you know a number of left leaning, you know, radio and TV hosts went to RT. And you know the Russian money that was coming in to kind of, you know, move and I would argue corrupt the message as a whole. There's just something wrong about this and something that needs to be done about it. And I was like, no. People were like, no, it's not a big deal. I'm like, I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with it.
I think it is a big deal, and that's why when McCain had his bill, you know, he was going to, quote, clean the system up, which more money went into the system than ever before after the bill passed. It just moved. That's the point. It just simply moved. And you will hear American politicians, and I was one of them at the time when we were passing these bills, you can't put foreign money in campaigns, you know. You will hear American politicians say, you know, we banned foreign money in campaigns. You don't ban it when you have three entities, like I discussed, funded by Saudis, that goes into the hands of people who are running presidential campaigns.
Yeah, I mean,
we have not stopped the influence.
No, it's crazy. In fact, you know, I was just you brought up DeSantis, and you brought up this dark money, and you know, there's a super PAC right now. In fact, I think it was CBS that reported this, that a super PAC backed by DeSantis. And the run for president, I guess they've raised almost $500,000, and somehow it's going to be transferred directly into his campaign account in the coming days. And I'm like, how is that possible?
Right, and also there's a Chinese expert. His name is Rush. I think it's pronounced Doshi, and D-O-S-H-I, I believe. He's done a lot of work, and he shows how the Chinese have funded politically friendly research institutions, right? they've got language media centers. You know, and these aren't necessarily, and some of them are legit, don't get me wrong, but this is where the government, the feds, need to look into this, because some of them are simply political tools. That's what they are. These institutes come out with policy drafts, then they filter out through people, they filter out through advocacy groups that are set up that are, quote, American, but all the information is coming from the Chinese. And he's uncovered a lot of this. They're out there, too, that we just don't hear about the Chinese as much because of Trump and the whole Russian thing and Paul Manafort. The Chinese are there, too.
I think the Chinese are actually worse because they're deep in and a lot more quiet about it. But the Russian thing, not a hoax. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it.
No, and when I was in China for meetings one time, I brought my own translator from the American Army, and I brought my own translator. And I said, "What are they saying?" And at the table at the college, they were talking about me. Now, this is back in 1996, that I had used the word China should be contained. And I got back and talked to my press secretary. This is pre-internet days, really. And we're like, where did I say that? We looked through articles. We used to have the paper clips. Do you know where the article was? It was in the Noble County Journal Leader, a twice-monthly newspaper in Noble County, Ohio, 10,000 people, in 1995. The Chinese knew that, pre-internet days.
Yeah, they
do. That's how much they target. I was in shock. How would they know that, you know? And just think today of what they can do in these institutes. So I think it's a real problem. I would love to see somebody take this on in the Congress.
No, the money is the problem. Our greed is our undoing. That's the sad reality. But, Bob, as always, I appreciate the time and the insight. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, our good friend Bob Ney. Seriously, I mean, something has to be done on just how pervasive and how ingrained the foreign money into these lobby groups really are. It's scary stuff. Quick break, right back. Think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. So Donald Trump has pledged that if he is elected, he's going to end birthright citizenship. Oh, that's right. Yeah, never mind that Constitution thing. Executive order. You're going to use executive order. Edict from the on high to end birthright citizenship, which means that if you come here and you have a child here, this is in most countries around the world. If you have a child there and they're born on that soil, you are a citizen of that country. They want to do away with that. And look, there's been talk of this for years. Not going to happen. Good luck on that. We should be talking about an actual immigration policy, but that's too hard to do. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about building walls. And the Trump folks, back to the wall thing. Now, interesting, because I think of Trump and his love affair with Kim Jong-un. Un, during the pandemic, evidently built a massive border wall, hundreds of miles of border wall with the northern part of the country, because evidently that's how information gets in, that's how people get out, those are trade opportunities, things. Understand the difference here. I got to wonder, when this change is here too. Un doesn't want people to get out. The idea is build the big wall so nobody can get out. Trump and them are saying, well, we don't want anybody to get in. And I would argue at some point, does it not become, nobody gets out of here? Especially in MAGA world, where if you found out that evidently people were getting Trump bucks. Have you heard of this? Someone had set up a cash system with Trump.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petucation June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at